Good morning. I like it, Ford. Thank you so much. Super excited to be here with everyone this morning. I pray that you had a great time this morning in your small group study. There was one thing, and I have no doubt that your Sunday school, your small group leaders discussed this, but just I wanted to say this just to make sure that we're all on the same page. In today's Sunday school lesson, it's not just enough to invite someone to church. You also have the responsibility to share the gospel with people, right? It's not just you invite them to church and you hope a Sunday school teacher does it, or you hope the pastor does it, or you hope somebody else here does it. No, you have the responsibility also to share the gospel. So don't shirk that responsibility. I think the lesson was a little bit soft on that, and don't miss out on that opportunity to share the gospel, because you were called to do that. All right? Take a look at your bulletins. Crack those open. Super excited tonight. There's going to be an update from the Eastern Kentucky mission trip. We're going to present what happened, what we did up there. Steve, have you got many pictures? All right, so people listened last week. That was good. Thank you all. But please join us tonight at 6 o'clock where we go over that. It'll be a time of prayer for Eastern Kentucky and just a time to kind of put into perspective what is happening in Eastern Kentucky right now, right? So be back with us here tonight for that. Today's the last day, right, Peggy? Thursday. The bulletin's wrong then. Take something. Thursday is the last day. If you would like to donate something to be used for the yard sale at iLead, which those proceeds are then used to pay for shipping for the shoeboxes that we do here, Thursday is the day. So have it over there on the porch of the parsonage, and Peggy, Joyce, and Carol will do something with that. Okay, well, all right. Melissa plant. That's not appropriate, Tony. Okay. We just keeping it real in here today, I guess. All right. Dresser drawer. Oh, okay. Pretty sure that's not what she meant, Tony. I'm pretty sure that's not what she meant. But anyway, it is a really good opportunity to clean some stuff up, and it all goes to a very good cause, right? Because those shoe boxes are not simply just items, but the gospel goes with every one of those boxes. So that gospel is shared. So it's a really good thing. We are entering into the season of Eliza Brought Us. You see that here in your bulletin. I did double check all those links work. Not that I doubted you, Mandy, but I checked those links. They're all good. They go to very good web pages. If you're interested in that, I would encourage you to pray about that, to think about how you would partner alongside that ministry, and to see what God would have you do for that. Okay. Also, the Christmas shop, the tubs out there, August is almost over, but shirts, long and short sleeve, and all sizes, right? This is not just kid sizes, but it's all sizes that we're collecting for, right? And then last but not least, this is what I received under my door. I thought it was a ransom notice, right? I got this under my door, and I was like, they must think I'm blind. I can read that. But you remember at our back-to-school bash, and we all picked up our prayer pals, right? Maybe not everybody, but a lot of you picked up prayer pals. This is just an encouragement to go ahead and reach out to your prayer pals and let them know who you are. Let them know you're praying for them, and go ahead and make that connection, because the longer that goes on throughout the school year, the less effect that's going to have. So now, go ahead and reach out to them. If you haven't, most of you probably already have, but if you haven't, it'd be a good idea to go ahead and do that, all right? That's all I have for today, so I'm going to pray, and then our musicians are going to come forward and start preparing our hearts for worship, all right? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for our time that you gave us in our small group studies, just an important lesson for us to understand not only who our neighbors are, but the best thing we could do for any of them is to share the gospel with them, so we thank you for that reminder. Lord, we thank you for right now as we come to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift up songs of praise to you, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we just ask that through these songs and through your word, that we will grow into a deeper understanding of whom you are and what you've accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Such a blessing to be with you all once again. Let's stand this morning and let us praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing our praise. Oh, Lord our God.
The third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample dead, raise your still, the angels roll from Christ of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore.
Amen. We praise his name for the wonderful and deep love that he had for us. So let us sing of how deep the Father's love for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no gown, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ.
Through 6. He provides the food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nation. Our inheritance is Jesus Christ, and he is our living hope. So let us sing that this morning.
Every chain, this salvation. promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Let's sing that again.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. Broken every chain, salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain, there's salvation.
I think we like that song, don't we? Amen, amen. It's that living hope, and in Christ alone that we find that joy to sing. So let us continue singing this morning.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, the curse has lost its grip. First cry to final breath, Jesus. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of man, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 117-8. The works of his hand are faithful and just. All of his prospects are trustworthy. They establish forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for all that you have done. Lord, may we have confidence in you, confidence in your word, and not be ashamed of the gospel each day of the week, every moment of our life. Lord, thank you for the songs that we sang this morning. Thank you for all that you've given to us and richly blessed us with. And we just pray that we can give back to you and that you can use it to the kingdom's purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, the children will head off to Children's Church to pray for Melissa and Jamie. I did see a lot of Mountain Dew being consumed this morning. So I'm not sure how that turns out for you, but, you know, we'll pray for you. I also wanted to make another comment. It's got nothing to do with today's message, but this is for Tony and Christy. I really hope Jeremiah never does any type of sneaking around, because he just appears up here, and I'm like, what is he doing? How did he get up here? So I hope he never decides to sneak out of the house, because you'll never catch him. I'm just telling you right now. You're not going to catch him. We're very thankful for all of the effort that our musicians put into preparing our hearts for worship. You know, I spend time, and this is not trying to compete with other churches, but I go to other churches at times, and I hear their music, and I'm always very thankful for ours, right? And the hard work they put into that, that just doesn't happen naturally, man. They come, and they practice, and they work at it, and they pray about the songs they pick. So pray for them. When you get a chance, tell them thank you. We're very blessed to have all of them, even those that are like ninjas and just sneak up here, okay? We continue our march through 1 Peter. We find ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 today. I'm going to read that for us, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at God's word. God's word says this: do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again so much for the opportunity you've given us this morning to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to sing songs of praise to you. We thank you for the blessings that you are giving us. Lord, we just ask that you continue to open our eyes to the countless blessings that are being poured out on us daily that we simply take for granted and we don't recognize they're coming from you. Lord, make those known to us. Through that, we will grow in our understanding of who you are. We'll grow in our understanding of how worthy of worship you are, Lord. And through those blessings, we will understand how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we've been making our way through 1 Peter. We made a pretty hard turn a couple weeks ago where we've gone from theological, theoretical, to practical applications. And last week we talked about in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, we talked about unity and within the church how we should conduct ourselves and what we should look like. And so if last week was about unity and our actions, this week is also about unity, but it's about our speech and how we talk to one another and what we say to one another, right? So the first thing we look at here, and again, just and I know you all that have been here consistently, you're like, oh man, we don't need this, but some of you do, is just remember the context of what's happening in 1 Peter, right? Peter writing to the churches that are displaced. They are suffering persecution. They've been ran out of their homes. They are living in foreign areas, right? Foreign lands, all because of their love of Christ. And so as Peter writes to these five churches, he's encouraging them and he's strengthening them. And he's saying, even in the midst of your persecutions, I am still asking you to do these things. So far is to the point that, honestly, he's not really asking them. He's telling them on the authority of God as an apostle to do these things, right? And so when we come to this one today, or we come to this verse today, this is really tough. It's easy to read, and it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. This is a whole nother thing to put this verse into practice and to do this daily. Because, and I said this morning to my Sunday school class, the Facebook Sunday school class, I say this about every book of the Bible, and I believe it's true. They're all relevant today. They're as relevant today as they were the day they were written. But man, 1 Peter really hits home, right? When we're talking about persecution, we're talking about being hated for no other reason than just being a Christian. 1 Peter and 2 Peter are your epistles, because that's what he's talking about. It's also the reality of what many of us are living in right now. And so, and I pray you never think this about any scripture you come across, but man, this is very practical. This is real life stuff right here that God is commanding us to do, and then we have to put it into action, right? So the first thing we look at here is do not repay evil for evil. Right? We know what evil is that when someone treats you unfairly, you don't treat them unfairly back, right? You don't return that. And then he takes it and he turns it up a whole nother notch. He says, and note, revile for reviling, right? Don't repay that either. And really, reviling is really talking about abusive, insulting talk. Anyone here ever received any abusive talk? Yes, you have. Any of you here ever given abusive talk? Yeah, you have. Right. Now, thank you for the hand. Hey, I appreciate it, Jeannie. The hand goes up. All right. And so what we're talking about this week is, what do we say What do we do? I've said this before behind this pulpit, and I'll say it again right now. I think one of the biggest lies you were ever told by your parents or grandparents or your school teachers, whoever told you this, is sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's just a lie, man. That is just a flat-out lie. I understand why your parents tell you that. I understand why my parents told me that. They're like, toughen up, man. It's just words. It can't hurt you. Scripture has a very different opinion of that, right? I would be in a more alignment with Scripture than I am your parents and my parents. No offense to your parents. But the reality is, words are hurting. Words are hurtful. They damage. I'll even go so far, and I had this conversation the other day with someone, and this is my opinion, right, is that I think verbal abuse is almost worse than physical abuse, because bones will heal, you know, physical, you know, stuff will grow back, but man, verbal abuse, you carry that forever, and it's always locked in there. You tell someone long enough they're worthless, they'll start believing they're worthless. You tell someone long enough that they're not very bright, I won't even use the word, right, that you're not very bright, eventually you'll start believing you're not very bright. It's just reality, right? And Peter, again, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is clearly saying here, when you suffer abuses, you don't repay those abuses. You don't revile back to them. You don't speak back evilly to them. If any of you have read ahead for next week's or next quarter Sunday school lesson, we're going to be in the book of James. I love the book of James, right? I've preached through the book of James for us, right? I'm a big fan of the book of James. And the book of James, right, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he dedicates an entire chapter just talking about the tongue and how hurtful speech can be. I'm going to read something here for you. This is James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. JT, when I read this, I was thinking about you, all right? If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great is a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Right? Very clear, James understands the power. And the reason I said that about JT is talk about horses, right? You've never set me on fire with your tongue. Maybe later. We'll see. I don't know. But he's making a very clear point there. This is the analogy I use all the time. I mean, and remember, we're talking about these massive ships, right, that have these massive sails that were sailing all over the Mediterranean Sea. And the analogy that James is using there is that that's a very small little rudder in the back, but the rudder guides wherever it goes. The truth is this: what comes out of your mouth is very indicative of what's in your heart, right? You should think about that. Yeah, it's hard for it, I know. It's hard. You and me too, right? It's difficult. James goes on and he continues this. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. And this is something, when I read this in preparation for today's message, it's convicting, man. This is some very convicting things. It was convicting to me. He's talking about our tongue here. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, right? From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No, he's saying that you can't come to church on Sunday and sing songs of praise that our musicians do an amazing job in leading us. You can't sing songs of praise on Sunday and go to work on Monday and start cussing somebody, right? I know some of you all have probably suffered from that. I have too, right? I'll be the first to say my cursing was never verbal, right? I'm not a verbal cussing. But in my head, I'm like, oh, man, that person, right? Scripture teaches us that's just as wrong. It's just as wrong for me to think that as it is for me to say that, right? Jesus discusses that in the Gospel of Matthew, right? And so we have to understand how dangerous our speech can be if it's used for evil things, right? So we understand how powerful our speech is, But what Peter is saying here is even more difficult to really grasp. He's saying that you are not to mistreat someone verbally, even when they mistreat you verbally. Now, I cannot speak for anyone in here but myself. Sometimes that is very difficult, man. Right? As Shakespeare said, you know, sometimes I want my pound of flesh. Right? If somebody yells and gets on me, I'd be like, oh, you just wait. You just wait. I'm not speaking of anyone here. I've never said that about any of you all. Kirk, you're safe, okay? No, I'm just joking. Kirk made eye contact. That's his fault, right? But we have these sinful desires, and I'm very confident in this. I am not the only person standing here today that feels these sinful desires. That be like, hey, okay, you say that to me, you just wait, right? I will get you at some point, right? And we're seeking revenge. Well, if you spent much time reading Scripture, we talk about this a lot too, right? Let's take a look at this. You probably talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago in your Sunday school class. We find this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 39. You have heard that it was said, right, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I can remember as a kid reading this verse and be like, that can't be right. I was like, no, there's a typo. Somebody wrote something down wrong there. That can't be right, because I'm telling you, somebody slaps me, it's on. Like, we're about to go at it. Like, no one is going to slap me. And I'd be like, well, here's the other one, man. Take a swing at it too. Right? It's in complete opposition to your sinful self. Now, this scripture needs some explanation. Right? I wish someone would have explained to me this as a kid. I wouldn't have struggled so much with it. But we have to understand, a slap is very different than a punch. Right? And this is what he's talking about here. So I was tempted to show a video, but I was like, I just don't trust the internet. I don't know what's going to pop up. But when I read this, I always think of Bugs Bunny. And you guys are like, Bugs Bunny? Like, oh, we hired this guy? What's this? We need a better preacher. But there's a cartoon where Bugs Bunny takes a glove off and he slaps a guy. Right? This is really what Matthew's talking about here. It was meant to be an insult to basically degrade someone. Not to really enter into a fist fight, but just to simply say, I'm more powerful than you. I'm going to disrespect you and really embarrass you in front of everybody as I give you a backward slap. Now, what Matthew records here, what Jesus said, is that what would that lead to? Even though it was meant to simply be an insult, it wasn't a trying to start a brawl, what probably happened? A brawl probably ensued, because I'm telling you right now, if somebody slapped me like that, I'd be like, dude, I don't know who you think you are. Like, we're about to go at it, right? And so we see here that in light of this, and we read an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and in 2022, we read that, we're like, man, the Old Testament was hardcore. But we have to read, that's God, right, trying to restrain us. Anybody in here, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, anybody in here had a slight wrong done to them, they're like, oh, I'm about to escalate this, right? You may have stole this from me, but I'm about to turn this up to 11. I'm about to do this back to you. So the reason God instituted, right, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, not because God is so hardcore, right, he is, right, but not because he's so hardcore, but what he says is he's trying to keep people's sinfulness in check. So that if someone knocks out your tooth, you don't go and try to chop his head off. He's trying to keep things even here, right? And I get it. In 2022, we read that, and we're like, man, that's really hard. But it's the same thing that our laws help to do right now. It's like when we have lawsuits and when we sue, and that's a whole different discussion, right? Proportional is what God was looking for there, right? And he understands we struggle with this. Now, and there's also something else that we have to talk about this when we reference this verse and we use this to help make a case here for what we see in Scripture, is that this verse is not to be taken out of context and misused, that Christians shouldn't defend themselves. That is clearly not what this is teaching. Again, this is why we talk about the word slap. This was meant to embarrass you, right? If you really get punched, I believe God wants you to defend yourself, right? And I'm just going to give you a couple really easy verses here, right? Luke, my personal favorite gospel, Luke chapter 12, verse 11. talking about when they're getting being brought before the synagogue. When they bring you before the synagogue and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. Right? And so there's lots of verses. I'll give you another one. Acts 22, verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. So don't take that Matthew verse out of context and be like, man, I'm just supposed to be a punching bag and a doormat for the world. That's not what it's saying there, right? It's not what he's impressing upon us there. What he's impressing upon us there is our personal conduct matters. And in light of that discussion, in reference back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, what we say matters. You know, one of the things that I try to impress upon you all, I try to impress it upon my house, and I'm thankful that Scripture impresses this upon me, is it matters to God how you act every day. Every moment, every thought, everything you say matters to God. And we should be guarding those, and we should be careful about those. And that's exactly why Peter, again, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records this for us, is for us to be reminded of how we are supposed to respond to people who treat us poorly through their speech, right? It's just super important. And, you know, something else, and I think I shared this Sunday night. Jamie's not here. She's downstairs. But when we went to our class, somebody said, well, Michael, what would you say? And Jamie's like, I know what Michael would say. He'd say either idolatry, read your Bible, or go to Sunday school. And I was like, man, I was like, thank you so much, Jamie. I was like, if this wouldn't be awkward, I'd give you a big hug right now. But I don't know that go as a preacher hugs another deacon's wife in another church. I was like, I don't want that drama. But I was so happy she said that. I was like, man, I know one person's listening. One person's listening. I pray a lot more than one person's listening. And so I think I'm adding something to my sermons. It's the sovereignty of God. And so when we discuss this set of scripture, right, we really need to have a firm grip on the sovereignty of God. Because even when we, and so Peter is writing this, and I think it is correctly written to the churches, they are being mistreated for no other reason than being Christians, right? It's a different discussion for a different day. Later in 1 Peter, we'll talk about, you don't do this, like you can't be doing things wrong and then be like, I don't know why I'm being treated poorly. No, these Christians are doing things right according to the government. They're being mistreated simply for being Christians, right? The way we have to respond to that really comes back to our understanding and grasp on the sovereignty of God, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 19. I mean, you got to read this, man, and you got to think about it. You got to meditate on it. Beloved, it just means he loves you, right? Paul writing here, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Here's the reality. Why do you think, why do we think we're worthy to judge anyone? Because what's the truth? We're as wretched as the day is long, man. And almost anything that is being done to you, I am very confident you've done to someone as well. Right? It was, you guys know, months ago now, I got sideswiped up here on the road. I mean, just hit every quarter panel on my truck, right? And I can remember, I just laugh because, you know, Melissa, man, she's a mama bear, big time. And she's like, did you chase him down? I'm like, chase him down? I was like, what do you mean, chase him down? She goes, what do you turn around and go after him? I'm like, and do what? I mean, citizen's arrest? I mean, what am I going to do, right? And she was like, well, I can't believe you didn't do anything. And I was like, I don't understand. Because the reality is this. At some point, when that person is called home, they'll have to answer for that. It is not my responsibility to go and inflict that upon someone else. Right? Because here's the other part. Guess how many times I've been on the wrong side of the road when I've been driving? If you're driving on county, a bunch. Let me tell you, maybe because you're dodging a pothole, maybe you're dodging where the road's actually caving in, right? But I, too, have had wheels on the other side of the road. Now, I didn't sideswipe somebody, but what that guy was guilty of, so have I been. I think it's a very clear application to what Paul is writing there in Romans, is that we do not take this justice into our own hands. Because remember about three messages ago, we talked about God is what? God, our God is a God who believes in unity. He believes in structure. If we don't take 12:19 to heart and we all start exacting justice on our own hands, pure chaos. Right? Thank the Wild West. You know, you've watched, anybody grow up watching Westerns? My dad loved Westerns. That's what it would be like. You do something wrong, somebody starts shooting. Right? It's just, it leads to chaos, right? And, you know, and we continue to take a look at this, and this but on the contrary verse that we see there in Scripture. When that shows up in Scripture, man, pay attention, church. Because he understands, right? And he, being God, understands that he's getting ready to tell you something that's very difficult. That really, without the indwelling of the Spirit, you're not going to accomplish. And even with the indwelling of the Spirit, you're going to find difficult. On the contrary, we're supposed to do what? It's very clear, we have through Scripture, we're not supposed to repay evil for evil. We're not supposed to practice an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. We're not supposed to do that. But on the contrary, we're supposed to bless the person. Oh, man, you're talking about crazy, right? So this person is going to yell and cuss at me and treat me unfairly, and now I'm supposed to bless that person? It doesn't make sense. But that's why we've got the Spirit, right? The Spirit helps us with these things, right? And so what does it mean to bless? Well, it means a couple things. Number one is you're supposed to speak well of people who speak poorly against you. Any of y'all find that hard? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's true. I think most of us find that hard. But this is what we're being called to in Scripture. The guy who speaks poorly of us, we're supposed to, in return, speak well of him. I keep saying it to him. It could be a girl, too. I'm not just picking on you guys, right? How are we supposed to do that? You're supposed to pray. There's something in that person that you can be thankful for, right? There's something. Now, there's something else, and I have to say this. Be aware that he might be saying something truthful about you, too. Right? Just because someone says something to you that you don't like, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not truthful. Now, what Peter is talking about here is it is untruthful. But practically speaking, and I went through this, you know, I'd get an evaluation every year, and sometimes they would say things like, nah, that's not right. I don't agree with that. But now some time and look back on that, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're pretty right. Yeah, I did that. I was guilty of what they wrote down on that evaluation. I deserve that. So understand that practically too, but again, we're talking about here things that you haven't done, right? These are things that people are reviling you for things you haven't done, right? Is we're supposed to speak well about them, right? We're also supposed to do this, right? Is not only are we supposed to be, you know, thankful and speak nice of them, is we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to pray for them. Supposed to pray for them. You guys have heard my testimony about a stepbrother of mine and the type of prayers that he prayed. That is not what Scripture is teaching. We don't pray for people to die, right? We don't pray for bad things to happen to people. We're not invoking God to do our dirty work. That is not what Scripture teaches, but we're supposed to pray for them. Why are we supposed to pray for them? That's a great question. Thank you for asking, Brad. We do that because this, prayer does what? It changes us. It changes our hearts, right? And so the more we pray about a persecutor, the more we pray about someone who's treating us unfairly, the more it will change our hearts. And I'm not saying it will completely change your situation. It may not. But the thing it will change in your heart is you will be able to see that individual into what they truly are. They are, just as you are, made in the image of God. And because they are made in the image of God, they have value. You might dislike them. You probably are going to dislike them because it is very difficult to do this perfectly. But the reality is they have value. Jesus talked about this. He modeled it perfectly for us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right? How did Christ do this perfectly? You remember what he said when he was on the cross? He's up there dying on the cross. And what does he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He's praying for the people who put him on a cross for no other reason than he was disrupting the system and they didn't like him. There was no evidence, right? He went in front of the Roman council. There was no evidence of anything he had done wrong. But yet, he was persecuted unfairly for nothing he'd done. So he's in the situation of who Peter's talking about here. And what does he do? He prays for them. We throw this word around. I say it probably more than I should. I talk about sanctification a lot. Sanctification just simply means this. We're trying every day to be more like Christ. That's really all it means. And when you read that, I pray most of you, including myself, realize you still got a lot of sanctifying to do. There's still some opportunity for you to grow. It's one of the things, and I've never heard anyone say this. No one would be bold enough to say this out loud, Lori. But I've seen people think this before. They're like, oh, man, I understand this. I've read the Bible at least once. I kind of get of what's going on. I'm good. I don't need to do this anymore. That's just Satan talking to you. That's Satan trying to set you up for some traps in your life, because the reality is I need no other verse than Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to show you still need more sanctifying. You still need it. We go on, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's a segue into this next bit of scripture we see here, is we're supposed to bless people, right? For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing, right? So this is I love this subject. I love discussing this with people, right? And there is a little bit, I don't want to say conflict, that would be the wrong thing, but there's a misunderstanding of what a blessing looked like in the Old Testament and what a blessing looks like in the New Testament, right? In the Old Testament, Jews basically believed that the wealthier you were, the more stuff you had, the more God honored and favored you. Right? The more kids you have, the more God favored you, right? And if you didn't have kids and if you didn't have money, obviously you did something wrong, right? That's just a wrong understanding. That is a worldly that is a lost person's understanding of a blessing. I am very confident. Obviously, I would have confidence in you as the church to get this correctly. But if we went out into the secular world and asked this question, and I asked them, what does a blessing look like in 2022? I am very confident most of them would say the same thing that Jews believed in the Old Testament. It would be stuff, a bigger house, a bigger boat, a helicopter. Right? People make fun of me. I like helicopters. I think helicopters are cool. A helicopter. Fill in the blank with anything worldly that you think represents opulence. Right? And that's what people would say a blessing is. Very opposite to what Scripture teaching a blessing is. The majority of the blessings that you are going to receive, and I shouldn't say majority, but when Jesus often speaks of blessings, he's talking about spiritual blessings. He's talking about things you're going to receive after you're called home, after you return to glory. That's the type of blessings he's talking about. The main blessing that you have been given, right? If you are a follower of Christ, if you're trusting in him as your Lord and Savior, the main blessing you have been given today, right now, is the blessing of forgiveness, that you've been forgiven, right? Let's take a look at that, right? What does forgiveness mean? It means simply this, and it's really at the heart of what the gospel teaches, is that you are guilty of your debts, your sin debt. There is not enough time left in your life. If you did everything perfect from this point on, think that's possible, Bobby? Thank you. Right answer. Not even possible to do that. But let's say in theory you were able to do everything perfect from this point on, you could never repay all the sins that you've already committed. You just do not have the time remaining. So you will, and I think a lot of times you see this written wrong, and I don't think they do it on purpose, but, you know, they say when you will stand in front of God one day, you will be found not guilty. That is incorrect. You are guilty. You will be found guilty. But what's amazing for those of us trusting in Christ as our Lord and Savior, side note, he is your Lord and Savior. That's why I always say trusting in, because he already is your Lord, but are you trusting in him as your Lord and Savior? He will then stand up, appear, I'm not sure how it's going to happen, and he would say, I am issuing a pardon on their behalf based on what I accomplished. So never get that mixed up. You are guilty of these sins, but you're going to be forgiven of those sins because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. as Christ goes to the cross as the perfect spotless lamb, pays the penalty for all sin, past, present, and future, as he accomplishes that on the cross, if you are trusting in him as your Lord and Savior, you are now forgiven of those sins. This is what I talked about yesterday, dining with dignity, right? When you confess to him that he's Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. You're no longer a slave to sin, right? You are forgiven in that, and that is amazing. And I pray when in your private reading, when you're studying and doing devotions or whatever you're doing, reading your Bible, I pray you understand how amazing forgiveness is. I pray that you understand that. You know, you had an entire lesson last week in your small group studies. The whole lesson was about forgiveness, right? So it's really fresh in my head of just how amazing the concept of God's forgiveness is to us. And the reality is this, is that we cannot earn it. There's just no possible way to earn that forgiveness. God gives it freely. That's where we get the concept of grace. This grace is given to you by trusting in him, right? And so when we are able to do what we see there at the first part of verse 9, when we're able to not repay evil for evil, when we're able to not speak bad about someone when they speak bad about us, we understand that that is allowing for us to have a deeper understanding of the blessing that we've received, and that's forgiveness, right? It also gives us the ability, I'm not going to chase this rabbit too far, but it then gives you the ability to understand how important it is for you to be a forgiving person. Like I said earlier, just like the guy who was on the wrong side of the road that hit me, you need a lot of forgiveness in your life. Each and every one of you, you need that forgiveness from God. But you also need to show that forgiveness. Forgive others when they've wronged you. And I'm sure your Sunday school teachers touched on this last week, but it doesn't look like this. You've probably heard this said. I've heard it said. I've said this. I'm going to forgive them, but man, I'm not going to forget. That's not biblical forgiveness. That's not the way God operates. Amen? Amen. You should be thankful for that. I'll amen myself. Don't worry, right? If you guys don't want to say it, I'll say it to myself, right? You should be thankful for that, that God does not go back and be like, well, I kind of forgave you, but remember that time? That is not how God operates. That's also not how you should operate, right? That's one of the things I was so thankful for when Melissa and I did our marriage counseling. We did a chapter on fighting fair. And I'm like, I don't know how to fight fair, man. I'm just trying to win when I get in a fight. I ain't worried about fighting fair. That's sinful, but that's just honest about me. I'm being transparent with you, is that we need to learn when we have an argument, our intense fellowship, as Brother Matt Dow taught me to say, right, is that we don't bring something up from 15 years ago. Well, you remember that time you said this? That is not arguing fairly, right? We just have that tendency to be mean like that. Thankfully that God is not that way, and the forgiveness he gives us is amazing. I will also say this. I talk about blessings being primary spiritual. There are blessings that we do receive on this side of glory, right? I don't think it compares to the blessings that we'll receive on the other side of glory, but we talk about blessings right now. And we'll get into this next week when we'll continue on in this scripture, but I just wanted to touch on it here, is that if you want to see God's blessings on this side of glory, if you want to receive those, and I think everyone would say I do want those, there's only one way you can do that, and that's by being in God's will, right? That's by living a life according to what he wants us to do. So if you want to receive these blessings, you need to be not repaying evil for evil. You need to not be reviling for reviling. I've had conversations with people, and I've talked about this. They're like, man, I just feel like everything's gone crazy, and God's not blessing me. Nothing's going on. And I'm like, well, let's look at your life. Let's just do an honest, objective view of your life, you know? And we look at it, and they're like, they're not reading Scripture, right? They're not gathering with, they haven't been gathering with God's people in over a year, right? It's not a number. I'm just saying that, right? A year. Don't say, well, if I come in 11 months, I must be okay. No, that's not what I'm teaching. Don't be like Peter, right? When he's talking about how many times I got to forgive, and he's trying to put a number on it, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, if you're consistently living a life that is different than what Jesus calls us to in Scripture, and then you're like, man, God doesn't love me, doesn't bless me, how can he? You are outside of his will. You're living for the world. When you're outside of God's will, very difficult, nearly impossible that God is going to bless you in those situations, right? It's just people are like, I don't understand why God's doing this to me. So much of this is you're doing to yourself, right? Now, you can always have that conversation. Does God use our, when we go through James, I'm sure we'll talk about this. Does God use trials to strengthen and correct you? 100%, absolutely. But a lot of the issues in your life are self-imposed because you're making poor worldly decisions. And so if we read this and we're like, yeah, I want to be blessed. I want to obtain a blessing, as it says there in the last part of verse 9, right? The main way you do that is you live inside God's will. Don't be shocked and surprised if you're living outside God's will and you're not receiving the blessings, right? You don't see things happening in your life. You don't feel growth. You don't feel closer to God. You don't feel like, man, I look more like God today than I did 5 years ago. And you're like, man, why is it not happening? It's because you're living outside of God's will, right? It's something very important. Church, I'll wrap up and say this. Man, I get it. When you read verse 9, you're like, ah, man, that can't be real, right? Somebody slid that in. That can't be what God requires us. No, it's very clear. This is exactly what God requires from us, right? And again, in the bigger mega theme, why does God require this from us, right? Not only for blessing, not only for a deeper understanding of the forgiveness we've been given, is like we've been talking about throughout 1 Peter, is because if you act more like the world and you revile when people revile and you repay evil for evil, what does that do to your testimony? What does that do to people around you when you say, Brad says, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I teach Sunday school class. I'm making this up. I don't think Brad does this. But then Brad, you know, just curses everybody, you know, Monday through Saturday that he talks to. Do you think they're interested in learning more about Christ? No. I'm like, Brad looks just like the world. Again, Brad does not look just like the world. Brad, it's your fault. You looked at me. Okay? Right? But really, that's the mega theme of really what we're talking. It's a big overarching theme we see in 1 Peter is it's all about your testimony and that we as Christians should look very different. I will go so far as to say we should look exactly opposite to what the world looks like. And I encourage you to pray and think about this. You ask yourself, I don't know your heart. Jesus knows your heart. God knows your heart. The Spirit knows your heart. Ask yourself, do you look more like the world when you read verse 9? Or do you look more like Christ when you read verse 9? For most of you, you're somewhere in the middle. Pray for the Spirit to continue to impress upon you the need to be better at this. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for today, Lord. Lord, I love this difficult scripture. I love the conviction that it gives me. I love for the challenge that it gives me. I'm thankful for the reminder of how you did this perfectly, and that if I love you and care about you as much as I proclaim with my mouth, my actions should show that as well. So I thank you for this reminder. I'm thankful for the indwelling of the Spirit because I understand without that, impossible. Is it difficult with the Spirit? Absolutely. But it can be done with the Spirit, Lord, because I know you can do all things. So I'm thankful for this. Lord, I'm thankful for those men and women in my life that have modeled this behavior, that caused me to look at them and understand that, man, they really look different. They don't talk like other people talk. They really seem to care about people. Lord, I'm just thankful for how that slowly but surely did a work in my life and encouraged me to enter into a relationship with you. We understand the Spirit does all the saving, but we do have a role to play in that evangelism as we model Scripture, Lord. Just an amazing truth in my life. I'm confident it's the truth in many others. And Lord, I just pray that as we meditate on this set of scripture, as we think about it deeply, Lord, that we understand there's still growth needed in us. We still should desire to look more like you and less like the world, Lord. And we just pray that the Spirit gives us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and respond in singing that we have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you.
Isn't a secret. I tell this to anyone. When it comes to singing, I just cheat. I just look at someone else, and when they're doing, they're clapping. If they're in rhythm, I just assume I can be in rhythm too. So my back was Raphael, so I was watching Brad. So, Brad, I think we came in at the wrong time, my brother. So if I mess that up, man, please don't ever look at me when it comes to singing. Please look at me when it comes to preaching, but when it comes to singing, do not watch me, man. So if I mess that up, Raphael, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. don't follow me. Yeah. Brad, we were there together. The Lord knows. Scripture says a joyful noise, right? It doesn't say it's got to be in. We try, but one thing I wanted to mention, and I'm sure this is in everyone's prayer list, and you're thinking about this, is just a reminder. We've got several families in our church that are dealing with the loss of very dear people in their, whether it be their father, father-in-law, or brother, or uncle. We got a lot of people that are hurting right now. Remember them in your prayers, and give them a call, man. Reach out to them. Let them know that you're praying and you're thinking about them and that you care about them. It's one of the things, one of the many things we do as a church is we come together with one another. We're with one another in our sorrows and in our joys, and understand that they're not forgotten, right? Because you've moved on and you're doing your daily things, and that's good and that's right. But man, they're still making their way through understanding what the world looks like now without that loved one. So don't forget them, man. Don't forget them. It has a lot of value to it. Cindy, will you close in prayer, please? Thank you.